Why, hello, Jill.
Why, hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie, and I am joined not just by Tel this time. I am joined by our girl, Jelly. She's back. She is back for
Hola.
a very special anniversary episode that we're doing, and we are so happy to have her back.
Hi.
Hey.
She's forgotten how to
Forgot how
podcast.
to do all this.
You have
We
to
don't sound
speak.
like we're happy, but we are.
You have to speak on
Life,
podcast
man.
because they can't see what you're doing.
Life. That is, yeah.
Are you all caught up with the brand new series? You've watched the last, listened to the last two, I assume.
Obviously, in my painstakingly long work days and Christmas rush.
Don't you listen to it while you work? That's what we do.
unfortunately not. No, I haven't, but I will catch up because I want to hear about how much Tel would agree with what I would think on certain things. And I don't know whether you mentioned it at the time, but I would like to just make it known that fuck Gremlins. I give it like a minus 10 billion out of five. Okay,
Well,
we
I think
did leave that out.
you need to go listen to
Okay.
that episode because we didn't. I would apologize. Katie and I were drunk during that episode, and you can hear the ice in the Bailey's glass, and it really made me giggle when we were editing it.
My
But
brother listened to it the other day, and he was like, "That was my favorite bit of it because you could hear the glasses like chinking together and like to tell like pouring you some more Baileys." It was like the best bit of the episode.
which is really good to know that of all these intellectual things we say, the
I
best bit is us getting drunk
know, I
and
know,
pouring.
fucking brilliant. Or when I called Gizmo a cunt, I think that was about three Baileys in, so I
Yeah.
apologize for that.
Three, I think we had three Baileys before we started
Yeah.
recording. And the
Oh,
rest.
wow.
Like I had to go and buy more Baileys because we were. Do
So sorry.
not apologize. I fucking opened the bottle. But yes, it was very, very entertaining, but
Was.
it was hilarious. So worth it, worth it. But now well, I'm not sober, but I'm not drunk because I was last time.
I'm not sober.
It's Christmas,
Look how
funny enough.
far we've come.
It's yeah, I know. Well, you say that. We had some very drunk episodes at the beginning. But it's Christmas. I don't think anyone's been sober for 3 days, surely.
Fuck no. Absolutely
Exactly.
not. Obviously, I'm just going to break the mold there and be like, yeah, I've been sober for.
Well, you're a responsible adult.
I've been
Yeah,
sober
I
since
have
before your
no
birthdays.
responsibility.
You haven't been sober since your birthday, did you say?
Since before your birthdays, because
That is.
obviously we. That was the last time I saw you both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't drink then, and I don't actually know the last time I got drunk. It was a long time ago.
Hey, I'm not weak. Well, I literally just said who's been sober. I'm not drunk, drunk, but it's Christmas,
You can be
so
whatever you want, man.
you do you.
I'm out here just representing the teetotalers.
You're going to be a teetotal, and me and Katie will drink on your behalf. It's
Yeah,
fine.
I don't
Thank
give a
you.
fuck.
Because all there are now are remakes. Only horror the studios greenlight. I mean, there are still rules, but the rules have changed. The unexpected is the new cliche.
Yeah, you gotta have an opening sequence that blows the doors off, dial up some flashy music video direction, and the kills gotta be way more extreme.
Modern audiences get savvy to the rules of the originals, so the reversals become the new standard. In fact, the only surefire way to survive a modern horror movie, you pretty much have to be gay.
So why are you so sure that the killer's working by the rules of a horror remake?
Well, the original stab structure is pretty apparent.
Yeah, two kids killed in a house when their parents are away.
And then the school's hot chick savaged beyond recognition.
We all know where it goes from there.
A party.
Exactly. A party.
We do have a brand new film. We are doing, because it's our anniversary and it is tradition, we are doing Scream 4, the 2011 film. At the end of her book tour, Sydney visits her hometown after 10 long years. As she catches up with old friends, her return not only brings back memories, but also beckons the return of Ghostface. Katie, I'll come to you first. Do you remember watching this for the first time?
I do. I went to the cinema to see this film. That's how old I am.
I mean, 2011. Yeah, we were in college.
I do remember. I remember really liking it, to be fair. It's Scream. I mean, what the fuck else am I gonna say? No, there was a bit of apprehension with it because obviously it was a trilogy and nothing had been released for like 11 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a weird one. And I think a lot of people were skeptical because it's such a beloved, well, at the time, such a beloved trilogy and a franchise. But I just remember liking it. I liked it a lot more than the third one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rewatching it. I haven't seen this in years and mm-hmm. I forgot how much I liked it. I just think it's a great one. It kind of sets it all up again. It's obviously the last one that Craven did. Yeah. And I think it's got all the things that I love in a Scream film, just kind of more updated. And I can't find many faults with it, really. I liked the violence. They really upped it with the violence, which was really good. I thought it was really good. What do you think, Tao? Have you seen this before?
I have, but I can't remember my first time. Because I think as well, it was obviously, I'm going to get her surname wrong, but Hayden Panettiere, I think is how you pronounce it. But she was obviously in Heroes and I thought she was really cool. So I remember when this came out being like, oh my God, she's in it. I've got to watch it.
I love her character in it as well.
She's so good. So sassy. And I love again, it's just Scream. So straight away, you're like, right, who's Ghostface? Like from the off, everyone is a suspect. Bar like your main three. And you're like, I think taking that longer break really benefited them. As you said, like it came back gorier, it came back very different to number three, so much better than number three. But again, it's still just absolute satire of them taking the piss out of themselves, even to the point of saying, in this time, modern times, we would do this, the killer should do this, the rules have changed, and just poking fun at itself. Like, it's just so good at that. So you can't... Well, I don't think you can hate it, but Charlie, what do you think?
I watched it for the first time last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was struggling, and I'm not sure whether it's because I'm just so bloody tired because of life. I found that it was just a bit too long for me. Also, like, the double intro was iconic, but also at the same time, it was a bit like, what the fuck? I guess it never make up for lost time with the lack of movies in that period. it was clever. I preferred it to number three, which I obviously didn't like at all. But I just wish there was a bit more, like, Sydney Prescott sort of action. Like, I feel like she was sort of left out. And I know you guys have both said about the goriness one, but I feel like this one wasn't actually as gory. It had a few good jump scares, though. Like, we'll give it that. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of, like, mixed on this one. It wasn't my favourite. I think Scream 1 and Scream 2, like, great. This one, I'm a bit like, okay, but it's obviously better than Scream 3. And thanks fuck for Courtney Cox growing out of Fringe.
Well, she had 10 years to grow it out, so.
I know. And I'm also sad that she's no longer Gail Weathers as well.
Mm. They did still call her that a couple of times, though.
I know. Well, that's because she's trying to relive her iconic days. It's very clever, but it's also a bit like, yeah.
See, it's funny, though, because I love the double intro, because... I don't know, one, it got Kristen Bell in there, so it was like, mm-hmm. They always have the big...
Anna Paquin.
Yeah, and they always have the big names who die off very quickly. But I just think that was so unexpected, which is what Scream does very well, but obviously it's not unexpected anymore for them to have a double killer. So I just thought having a double intro was actually quite a good twist. But then again, then they start the next intro and you're like, no idea... If this is going to be a third, is this going to be the entire film just fake intros the entire way through?
I think I only got it when they said, oh, we live in Woodsboro. So it was like, okay, now we're up to date. Now that they live in the place that it all happened. Like,
yeah. There's no Inception type thing going on.
No. There's no Marvel cinematic universe that's just going to keep fucking doing it all over again.
So do we like the twist on Sydney coming back? Because again, it's kind of like followed her a bit, isn't it? As in Ghostface kept following her off to uni and college and everything.
Yeah, I did. I think I liked that sort of part of it. The fact that like she came back and wrote this book, and Gail's obviously like struggling massively with her career and like that taking off since all the Ghostface stuff had stopped. There wasn't really anything for her to do anymore.
Yeah.
I quite like that sort of like they were friends, because I couldn't remember in this one whether they were friends or whether there was still a bit of rivalry there, but you can tell that Gail still has a bit of like she resents Sydney a little bit for having so much sort of fame and fortune with what's happened to her. But like, I mean, Sydney's the one that's been through it. Gail helped solve the case, but Sydney's the one that's fucking, her mum died and
yes,
all of her friends have died, so fair play to her that she's getting a bit of money for it.
I was going to say, this was Sydney trying to reclaim her story, wasn't it? Because obviously Gail had sold off the other ones to the Stab movies.
Yeah.
And then obviously she was going to get sued for that. So that's why the Stab movies went off and were no longer. And I like that as well, because they referenced to Saw 4, I think it was. So it's that same thing. So like those first three Saw movies are iconic. Then it goes on into nothingness. So I like how self-aware it is in that sense. But no, it was very clever. And I love the fact as well that Gail and Dewey are together as well after all of that.
I know.
Although Dewey's voice is different. I know he's older. But it is no longer as cheesy as what it was.
I don't know if you noticed as well, but he doesn't have his limp in this one. And I don't know whether like physio. It's implied he's that he's had a lot of physio, or maybe David Arquette just didn't want to do the limp. He was like, I can't be fucked, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
He just forgot. He's like, it's been 10 years.
I've done it in the last two films, so I'm not doing it this
one. I guess he's got to be the sheriff now, so he's got to do his beat tests and things like that. You don't want to get held behind. So he's gone to some TikTok chiropractors and whatnot.
TikTok. And they've sorted
him right out. TikTok isn't even a thing. They even say it'd be weird to have a Facebook stalker. It'd be Twitter now. So like,
oh God,
yeah, right. And now Twitter's dead now.
Twitter's not even called Twitter.
No, and it's all about TikTok. So it's like hilarious how, again, another 10 years on, and it's completely different again.
It'd be really interesting to do this film now. Like, I know obviously all the Scream films are still coming out, but this actual. Like the reasons they were doing it was to like record it and make a film, make a real life. And all of them would be vlogging. Like small little reels on TikTok now, wouldn't they? Like, whoever being stabbed.
Well, this was when vlogging was really taking off and stuff, wasn't it? On YouTube and.
Yes.
Because it was the first, that's what they say is like the first person perspective. Okay, then when you just said about the Screams still coming out, did you mean Scream or did you mean the Stabs? Because Scream, I don't think we're going to see much more of Scream anymore.
Well, no, I did mean Scream, because obviously there's been two since this. Yeah. But I meant like, because the idea of like Jill and Charlie at the end, their reason behind it was to be the victims and to film all of this to come out.
Yes.
So now if this film was done done now, it would probably be like small little clips on TikTok or something.
30-second reels. Whee!
Yeah,
in double time, and there'll be a TikTok dance in there as well, a bit like it.
Yeah, doing that one. Actually, I was going to say flossing, but that was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a few years out, mate.
7 years ago.
Yes,
we had them doing the M to the B, M to the B.
Yeah,
doing a fucking chav makeup in between with blood or something.
Yeah,
nice.
No, it is. There is. I feel like we have to say it, but like I don't. There is so much happening with the Scream movies at the moment. They actually just lost their director as well. If you want to see everything that's going on, have a quick Google. It won't take long, but it does look like it's all falling apart. Actors have pulled out for speaking up against fucking the genocide that's happening in the world. And I think there was something else, but I don't want to be completely off. But basically for having their own opinions on social media. So yeah, it's all falling apart. And there is quite a few funny memes of like, obviously the Scream franchise has done really well, and now they're gonna fucking, because they already obviously lost, I can call her Sydney Prescott, Neve Campbell, and now they're pissing off their new actors, new actresses, hey, and leads.
No.
That's fucking, it's a shit show. Whoever like hell was running it just fucking needs a slap. Like,
yeah,
it's a shit show. So yeah, so fuck them, but
yeah, it is a massive shit show. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. I guess all like I can say about it is that it's just a shame.
Yeah.
It's just a real shame. Like, it really was to me an untarnished sort of franchise. And now it was kind of like, where the fuck is this gonna go?
It's Creed and Weinstein. But
other than white yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah. Sorry guys, I forgot about that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not completely untarnished, but the actual films themselves, as in like the consistency of them, of how, I mean, I know we obviously say Scream 3 wasn't it, but I prefer it more to you than you guys do, and it's still like part of the franchise, and people still accept it as part of the franchise. But so in that way it was untarnished, but yeah, be very interesting to see what happens with this, because
yeah,
the characters in that have left, it was all centered around them. So
I think it'll be a shame if it ends as a shit show. But I also, if they do suddenly go forward with a number 8, I don't think they'd have an audience, because I think people are so pissed off with them. So I think that will be interesting in the horror community to see how that plays. Sorry, 7?
7.
Oh, fuck me. I can't keep track of numbers. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. But yeah. But yeah. Number 4.
What do you think of the new characters, like the younger people? Did you like them?
Loved Kirby, really loved her kind of sass. I loved the movie geek, I forgot his fucking name.
I liked him too.
Yeah, we love the geeks. No,
Trevor. Well, it's really funny with Trevor, who's obviously Jill's ex-boyfriend.
Yes,
it really tries to set him up as the, it's like, is it a double bluff, is it not, because obviously then he's coming through the window, it's very similar to Billy Loomis, and all of that, and it's like, oh, is he like the psycho ex-boyfriend that's going to be the killer?
But he's also in Kirby's house, and she's like, get out of my house, I didn't invite you, like, and then he's like, I'm gonna go upstairs. No, like, as the person that, like, it was my house, we used to have a lot of house parties at, I'd have been fucking fuming if people just fucking turned up. Like, so many people would just bring plus ones. I was like, what are you doing? You didn't ask. It was never a problem, but I was like, you didn't ask. If somebody had just shown up, like, get the fuck out of my house. I cannot believe, like, and I know we're not supposed to like him, and as you say, we're supposed to think he's the bad guy, but where the fuck did he get the audacity, the fucking privilege to just be in her house? Like, no, fuck off. That just pissed me off. I was like, I don't even care if he's the killer or not. I don't like him. Get out.
So I find it funny because obviously, like, you're constantly thinking, who is it going to be? Yeah. I never once thought it would be him.
Too obvious almost, isn't it?
I thought it was going to be the blonde-haired cop.
Again, but because someone they make really unlikable, so.
She's fucking annoying.
He is really annoying.
The other person I thought it was going to be was the one with the short blonde hair.
Kirby.
I can't remember. Kirby. Just because she was going into her horror movies.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you stereotype us?
Well.
So you but did you...
And the long-haired geek as well, to be fair.
Yeah. So the geeks are Charlie, always Charlie. Kind of... Charlie. Yeah, I couldn't remember Charlie.
So Charlie, I did hit them up with. But yeah, I was convinced it was a sheriff person as well, because she'd only ever turn up when, like, and then she went off with it. Yeah, it was all a bit weird with her.
Well, like, the sheriff person has a good reason to be on the scene, but she did keep conveniently turning up, as did the boyfriend. Like, even the first kill, the boyfriend was like right there, like, and literally somebody even says to him, where did you come from? Like,
yeah.
It reminded me very much of the first one when Sydney gets attacked for the first time, and then Billy just suddenly turns up.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, oh, is it going to be this Billy Loomis kind of evil boyfriend moment again, because it's sort of been a couple of films now where they haven't done that. Is it time for them to do that again? And I'm really glad they didn't do that, to be honest.
I did like the twist. I actually forgot.
I like the twist.
I always hate this because I don't watch films so long that I'm like, I actually can't remember who the killer is.
Yeah.
So I did like that twist, and I did like the, like, very good. I've forgotten her fucking name. She's actually quite a well-known actress.
Emma Roberts.
I was like, she's an American Horror Story. Yeah, she actually, when she really goes for it.
But that plays a part.
Emma Roberts with the brown hair, the killer.
The whole time. They even gave, I can't be.
It's Emma Roberts, and her name is Jewel Roberts. Like, they didn't even change her surname.
Oh my God. I was like, convinced. I was like, nah, that can't be her from American Horror Story.
Yeah, it is. This is probably one of her earlier films. I say earlier, but she also did.
Yeah, I think this was like her first horror part, because apparently she absolutely hates horror films. So she just like never did them. And then after she did this, that's when like American Horror Story came in. And said and done a few controversial things as Emma Roberts. So it's a bit of a tricky one. But I will praise her performance in this, because I thought like the last half, like when she gets revealed as the killer.
Yeah.
I think like, she's so fucking good. I think she's one of the best, more sort of brutal ghost face killers there's been. So far, at least.
Yeah, because it's just as well when she's like explaining her reasons, and you can see, one, that she's fucked up, but two, there is people that think like that, where they're like, oh, you know, I just need trauma to happen to me so I can just get famous that way and like play on that. And you're like, you're literally stabbing her. And again, like, her beating herself up is actually quite very, you can see how well she's fought it out. And like her mirroring Sydney on the floor and everything. I was like, she's really planned this. I did feel bad for Charlie, because he obviously thought they were going to be in it together. And she's like, sorry, they prefer a sole survivor.
Gutted. Like, gutted. Well, I'm not gutted for him, but he must have been.
And did you know I kept looking at him. I was like, he looks really familiar. Looks him up, is Rory Culkin. So he's bloody
one of the Culkin brothers.
He's one of the Culkin brothers. And I was like, what the fuck? But we watched Scott Pilgrim the other day, which is one of the Culkin brothers in the other as well. So they just keep fucking turning up. Like, it's the time of year.
It is. It is indeed. They all make an appearance.
Everywhere. Be frosted.
So it is good. But no, I did really like that part where she's just beating herself up.
I know. It's
brutal.
It's just really well done, because it shows her mental state.
And also the fact that she stabs herself and it does actually really hurt.
Yeah, that's
like, she's like, oh shit, like that. Like,
and then she's actually in pain.
Yeah. Her head butting into a wall and then fucking WWE diving onto the table.
It's impressive. Brilliant. She could actually keep, because she kept standing up again. And I was like, it is impressive you haven't really fucked yourself up here. She's throwing herself around.
Yeah, I think the way she did it is as well, like they showed it, is quite theatrical. The way she's sort of like laying there in a broken glass, and she's like, oh, like, like, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, really, really clever. And then, the look on her face when she finds out that Sydney's still, like, possibly.
I know.
Oh, fuck, I love that switch.
Yeah. What? We were talking about, this is the only problem with having to take a break.
Up in the hospital, which, by the way, has there was no guards in the hospital at all. Like, there was no staff. Like,
no, there wasn't.
She managed to, and also, if she's in ICU, she's gonna have one to one, or at least one to two, like, nurses waiting on her. Like, why was no was one?
Was it overnight? Was it like skeleton staff sort of thing?
Yeah, but in ICU, you're still one to one or one to two.
Well, I don't know on the American system. I don't know if they just go, well, the alarms will make a noise if the heart rate drops.
Well, they certainly weren't listening to their alarms, were they?
But you say that even the police weren't really there. The only policeman there was Dewey.
Dewey. We've done four of these films now, Tal. Come on. You have to know who
Dewey is. Do you know what? Because we talk about hospitals, my head went to is it Dewey Houser? Was that the Neil Patrick Harris doctor? And I was like, that's not right. So I was like, Dougie. And then I was like, no, that's also wrong. And yes, I'm on the Baileys again.
You're all right with Dewey.
Yeah, got her in the end. But I love, again, like, where would he be without his wife? Because she's the one who's like, well, how does she know what injury I've got? Come on, it's better than it.
I know. That was a mistake, a rookie mistake from Jill to do that.
I just love also that from Dewey.
Yeah. I also thought when Jill shoots Trevor in the dick, that's probably wasn't a great thing to do, because like, why would anyone shoot in that direction? Like, she did it because he cheated on her and like slept with her and dumped her and did whatever. It's very personal. So people, like, when people discover like Trevor, they're gonna look into it and be like, why did this person
been struck my dick?
Like, yeah, basically.
I do need to look into it. Now I'm curious, because I do feel like if you're gonna hurt, it sounds so stupid, but if a penis has been hurt, it's probably been done by a female, because I can't see a man hurting another man's penis maliciously, because they're like, no, I know how much that hurts. Unless that other male has really hurt them.
But also, like, he's tied up, like, he's bound, like, he's gonna have markings. So that there is a few loopholes, but we digress.
Yeah, she didn't think that.
I mean, it's an interesting one. But yeah, yet again, it's fucking Gail, whatever her name is now, saving the day. I'm also gutted she didn't have any iconic costumes or any iconic look this time.
No, a much like died down wardrobe, actually, now you mention it.
I know she's meant to be like small town sheriff's wife, but still, like,
You can look good while being a sheriff's wife. At what point did you realise it was Jill? And I will say, and Charlie, but Jill was definitely the mastermind.
I didn't know until, I was really surprised when I first watched it. I didn't know it was going to be them at all.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, literally until it happened, I was like, shit.
Yeah, maybe when she was missing for a while and they like found everyone else and Sydney told her to hide under the bed.
Yeah.
And then she was gone for like a lot, for like a while after that. But
yeah, because at that point I thought she'd been taken.
Yeah, like I only kind of noticed that when I'd watched it again and I already knew she was the killer. But when I first watched it, I didn't know it was going to be either of them. Because I thought, I think even like, well, not really the main three, but I think anyone could have been at this point. Any of like the movie obsessed, the horror obsessed buffs, like it could have been any of them. It definitely could have been Kirby. Like it could have been Olivia from the beginning, the first one that dies. She could have,
Because it's when, because again, we've seen it where someone's like come back who we thought was dead. So it's like, could have been. Yeah, even if they're dead, they're not like off the suspect list. They could easily come back. But it's when like Sydney and Kirby are in that like cupboard. I don't know what they've locked themselves into. And they can see Charlie, and Sydney's literally like, if you don't trust him, don't let him in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, if only, well. And literally, what a point, what a fucking opportunity to just add in as many horror movie names as they fucking could.
She smashed it, to be fair. Like, and that again brings it back to the first one when like Drew Barrymore, Casey is being asked like the questions, and then the guy's tied up in the porch, and it all brings it back, which is quite nice. It was like a little throwback to the first one, which was nice. But yeah, she just names all of them. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and she's like, I've got another.
Right, oh, and she was just willing to risk it all for Charlie just because she was a bit drunk and horny.
Well, you know, we've all been
there. No, I'm a virgin.
You have a child.
I'm a virgin.
You're the only one that cannot.
She's literally the Virgin Mary.
It's Christmas.
Literally the Virgin
Christmas,
Mary.
Christmas, I can get away with anything. Mary got away with it. Thank you very much. Yes, and I shall too.
That is an insane. You think about it. For 2,000 years, everyone is just on board with this woman covering up an affair.
Yeah, let's not get into religion. That's for another episode.
Christmas is weird. Christmas is just a time of lies. You think we just lied to the children about Santa?
It's true.
Wow, Merry fucking Christmas. Keep lying
Merry
to your
Christmas.
Children. Merry Christmas.
Exactly. Charlie, Merry Christmas.
Virgin Merry Christmas.
Virgin Charlie Christmas. But yeah, thank you very much.
bullshit.
Yeah, no, and then obviously she had reason to believe, because Charlie was tied up. She was just like, well, yeah, obviously, like, but she just basically was like, yeah, cool, man. I'm gonna go and rescue him.
Yeah.
And even the killers couldn't even argue with her because she'd literally said all the horror films in the world.
Which, I mean, if you did that at a pub quiz, you would get disqualified. If you were just like, I'm just going to give you every answer, one of them is correct.
Well, she didn't even listen to the whole question.
No.
She was like,
it's got to be one of these.
But she heard the word sequel and then just listed as many horror films she could think of that had a fucking sequel. And was like, I did it, I won. I was like, did you know what you answered? Like, it was pretty good. I should have ticked off like how many she listed that we've covered. Sorry, now I've said it, I want to do it, but I can't.
You can do it in a post.
I'll do it in a post. I'll do
look
the
out for our social meds. But yeah, no, I loved her bit, and like,
yeah,
and then Charlie stabs away, mm-hmm. and that's when he's revealed.
We did skip over the bit. I don't know if it's the best bit, but definitely iconic. Where they're all, what do they call it? Stabathon? They're watching all the movies.
Yeah,
we need to do a Screamathon. We need to like just watch all of them back to back. But they're all just like, it's all the drinking rules. And again, it's a twist on the rules where it's like, well, this time you're going to drink to them. Obviously, Ghostface was going to turn up. How could they not? Fucking stupid.
It was very clever. And it was like webcams. And obviously, she was setting them up. And she was like, oh. Yeah. Amazing.
That was really good. And it was all like going back. Well, it's how you watch kind of like cult films and things now, like when you shout the lines, you know, there's like secret cinema and things now which you go to, and like that really terrible film The Room, everyone goes to that, and like
I fucking love The Room.
I love The Room. And like they meet the people afterwards, and it's like it's very sort of like on today's, it's very on par with today and how we treat sort of like shit films, basically. They've turned into sort of like cult classics.
They even have like their own iconic room, like films made after them as well. Like obviously going back to The Room, you've got The Disaster Artist with James Franco and that. Like it's...
Yeah.
They turn into like even for celebrities, even though these rooms are like, yeah, they just... Long live Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, I know. And like, I text Hell after watching it because I was just like, oh, they were playing drinking games while watching Stab. And I was like, I've never felt more seen in my life because I would literally be there. Yeah. I would be at that Stabathon. I know I would. I feel so attacked right now.
Sorry, is it number two where they do it, where they're in the cinema and everyone's dressed as Ghostface?
Oh, yeah, with Jada Pinkett.
Yes. And it's just like, again, I don't know if I would trust it because you're like, if every cunt is dressed as Ghostface, how do you know to trust?
I love as well how they went back to the Stab one as well and played that iconic scene like right from the beginning, like as if we'd sort of forgotten about it. But it was great. I loved it.
And she's about to take a shower and then she puts her dressing gown back on. And they...
No! It is funny watching it is funny watching the Scream films because it makes you want to watch the Stab films that don't exist.
It does.
And it makes you want to watch all the Scream films back to back. And it's just like, they're so addictive.
I have to say, I do really now want to watch the other two. But I'm like, obviously, I hold out. We've got another 2 years, mate, guys, of at least.
There you go. Once we finish the Scream franchise, we're done. Like,
I know.
It's all right. We've got a few Saw movies we can get through.
Actually. Yeah.
But it's just fucking crazy, isn't it? When you do look at it and you're like, things, like, it's so addictive. It is huge.
Yeah, so good. There's so many good bits in this film. Okay, guys, talking of stabathons and getting stabbed up in the cinema, would we survive Scream 4? Charlie, I'm going to come to you first. I know the answer. We all know the answer, but we want a legit reason why you would survive.
Okay, I would survive this one because it's got quite a high survival rate. And as we point out every year, they are only human. And we are all, or I'm very aware of the rules of horror now. I reckon I can survive. Thank you very much. I'm surviving.
Tell, what about you?
Sorry, it was only because Charlie was like, there isn't a huge kill rate, and there is quite a high survival rate. And I was like, I actually wonder what the body count is, because I hadn't looked into it. So this film, they had a total of 9 people were killed. The first film was 7, and then 2 and 3 were 10. So this is, I mean, it's only one less than the last two. So it's not the highest number, but I don't know. I just found it curious. I want to say, yeah, I think I would survive because, again, as Charlie said, they're only human. Again, by this point, in theory, you know there's 2 of them. So you should be on the lookout for 2. You wouldn't just assume, okay, I found one, I've solved everything. But I also just, at this point, I just wouldn't fucking trust anyone. Is when Sydney literally says, like, oh, if you can't trust them, don't let them in. I wouldn't fucking trust anyone.
Wasn't Scream 3 one killer? Sorry.
I believe it was just Roman. 2 was Mickey and Billy's mum. First one was Billy and Stu. 3rd was just Roman.
Number 3 was just the one.
Sorry, just to...
No. That's what the fucking point is. But even if there was one, I'd still like mistrust everyone until I like knew for sure. It's again, like, look at fucking Jill. It's not over till that bitch is dead, because she's trying to kill Sydney the whole time.
With the original.
Yeah, don't fuck with the original, especially with a remake. You do not fuck with the original. Katie, what about you? Would you survive?
Yeah, fuck it, I'd survive.
Yes, have a little faith.
New year, new me.
Yes,
I would, because yeah, as you say, they're only human. They do, Ghostface does trip up, and like, you can, yeah, a lot, and he's clumsy, and I think like you could get away with it. Yeah, so I'm gonna say yes, I would.
Also, me versus Emma Roberts, I'm gonna take her down any day.
I was just thinking this, she is tiny, like, and she wants to be thrown into a table, so
yeah. Okay, so guys, the most important question of them all. What is your spook and how many spooks? I'm going to go with Tell first.
I feel like I just spoke.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I feel bad because, I mean, we're only 3 episodes in. My scores have been really high this season. But I think I'm going to give this a 4.
Feel bad.
Well, I shouldn't feel that bad. We have picked some good films for this season, so, you know. But I'm going to go with a 4 because, again, it's not my favourite Scream, but I do think it's pretty good up there. I think taking a 10-year break and then coming back, I think they came back strong, which, again, is the last one with Wes Craven, so he did fucking great. He also made a guest appearance, a cameo. They don't call it a guest appearance. He was the coroner. Wes Craven was the coroner in this one. But yeah, so, but I think my spook, which I should have gone with first, was, oh fuck, I'm gonna go with Emma Roberts beating the shit out of herself, because I just think she did it really well. I think her slamming the knife, like using the door frame, like, again, you could kind of see how she was thinking. You could see there's like levels of psychopath she'd reached. She thought it through so well that if she stabbed herself it wouldn't work, so she knew she had to use the door frame, like, and throw herself into the table. But yeah, and I said it earlier, but that mirroring against Sydney was just, like, again, it was all, oh, so symbolic of her becoming the new Sydney. Everything that she dreamed up in her head, but she just underestimated Sydney. Katie, what about you?
Well, yeah, my spook, I think, will be similar to yours, Tel. I think it's like the whole Jill bit. I just think, as I said before, I think Emma Roberts is so good in this, and like the whole reveal and the little montage, the little sort of bit of dialogue she has, sort of explaining why she's done this.
Yeah,
I thought that was really, really good. So I'm going to agree with you on that. And I'm also going to agree with you on your spooks out of 5, because, yeah, 4 all the way. Like you said, it's not Scream, but it's not original Scream, but it's pretty up there, and it's a great way to come back, to the franchise. So yeah, it's a 4 for me. What about you, Charlie?
Oh, so I am torn. Like, the more I'm talking about it, the more I want to give it higher. Initially, before this podcast, I wanted to give it a 2 out of 5. I'm gonna go up to 2.5 now, because I did enjoy it. I just found it too long and a bit draining, and it was just, I don't know, it for me it was just lacking something. I think if I'd seen it sort of like its own sort of stand, I don't really know. But yeah, so I'm gonna go for 2.5, and my favorite spook, I think it will probably have to be Jill or the fucking party. Like, I think that was a great idea. But yeah, I mean shout out to Jill Jill's monologue. Like,
why hello Jill.
I think that's like top notch acting right there from Emma Roberts. And even like when she sets up in hospital as well, I love that as well. Like, Dewey, like, run, yeah, great. But yeah, it was just lacking sort of in between those scenes for me.
I do think, to be fair, we didn't actually talk about the length. It is quite long, because I think it is pushing, well, nearly 2 hours.
It is quite long for a Scream film.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't sort of notice it this time. I don't know, it just kind of happened. Like, it just sort of flowed, and I was kind of like, oh, I wonder who it is, a bit invested. But yeah, no, her art, I mean, we've all said that scene, like, that monologue is iconic, because it's like, I suppose it's the same they do in every film to like explain their reasoning, but her reasoning for being Ghostface was so different to any of the others.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else's was revenge, but she just wanted fame. And I was like, that's an interesting twist. I like that.
Especially as the internet was really starting to, like, social media and like being internet famous was really picking up at that point as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's very of the time.
I love it. We didn't mention it. There's going to be so many things. I'm like, oh, I didn't mention that. But it's like when they're talking about the rules and they're like, the only safe way to survive a horror film is to be gay. And then that guy's like, I'm gay.
And then he stops.
And it actually stops. I'm like, this is actually hilarious. Like, yeah, I suppose horror film rules do change as time goes on. So, yeah. it just cracked me up that they like threw in those little bits, as they always do, to take the piss out of horror. I just love it.
I think the Jill thing was fucked up as well, because obviously she was Sydney's cousin, so it's like part of the family. It was like, yeah, like, she can't even escape it from her family as well. So,
and then she killed her own mum.
I know,
like, it's just like, fuck.
But she even says that, like, I had to kill my mum to like keep it as close to the original. So she really was just trying to mirror what her bloody cousin went through, which is so fucking weird. All I heard was you growing up. Yeah. It's interesting mental.
Yeah. Very fucked up.
Yeah. But anyway, amazing. Thank you so much for joining us for another anniversary episode. We will be back in a couple of weeks with a very brand new episode. New and exciting. I actually can't remember what it is yet, but if you check us out on socials, we're always sharing things on there. And we'll post on there what the film is going to be, so you can follow along. Until then, bye.
Don't die.
Ghostface will catch you.
Ghostface gonna fuck you up. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you up.